right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Yes, I'm going to tell you how the DOJ defrauded Inslaw, but remember also the other night when I did the Pulse nightclub shooting with Omar Mateen, and Omar Mateen was a GS4 security guard working for Wackenhut, right? Wackenhut. Well, when I get through with the DOJ defrauding Inslaw, then we're going to go into Wackenhut, okay, because they're all connected here, folks. The original contract between the United States Department of Justice and Inslaw, Inc. was to develop a program for use by all 94 U.S. attorney offices in the 50 states and territories. PROMISE stands for Prosecutors Management Information System. And when Bill Clinton was elected president, one of his first actions was the unprecedented step of firing all 94 U.S. attorneys and replacing him with his own hand-picked successors. PROMISE had the ability to tap into the computers of services such as phone companies, water companies, electric and gas utilities, credit card companies, etc. PROMISE can search for specific information. For example, if a person suddenly started using more water, more electricity, or more phone service than usual, it might be suspected that he had guests staying with him. PROMISE would then start searching for the records of his friends and associates. This was of immense interest to U.S. intelligence, who marketed the software worldwide to these other intelligence agencies, complete with the hidden back door to gather the information from those intelligence agencies who were foolish enough to buy the software, because they didn't know it had a back door, folks. The U.S. intelligence used Systematics as the front group to market the banking component of the software worldwide and get the U.S. and foreign banks to use it. And by the mid to late 1980s, 70% of all domestic banks were using it because, well, they didn't know it had a back door. But first, the U.S. Justice Department wanted to wrestle control of the property rights to PROMISE from Inslaw. They did this by withholding payment and driving them into bankruptcy. In other words, you know, you get a contract with the government for whatever. These contractors do it all the time, you know, like Wackenhut, Blackwater, and who was that? Dick Cheney was behind. I can't remember who it is, but there's several of them. The CIA procured a copy from the Department of Justice and built in the added back door in total secrecy. Numerous unsolved homicides were connected with the government and subcontractors' actions as far back as 1981. Now, there's two theories that exist as to why the Department of Justice, and by extension the U.S. intelligence establishment, defrauded Inslaw. The first theory, it was greed on the part of the Justice Department officials who wanted to drive the company into bankruptcy so that it could buy it for themselves for pennies on the dollar. The second theory was because of the dire covert nature of the program of U.S. government. It needed total control and was not about to pay licensing fees and royalties in perpetuity to some Mickey Mouse corporation for such an ambitious product of global dimensions. And so then we've got Wackenhut. Once the original version of PROMISE was delivered, the DOJ handed off a copy to the CIA, which subcontracted Wackenhut to develop the backdoor. For this, Wackenhut hired a technical and electronics whiz-kid, Michael Reconocioto, as its research director, a child prodigy who built an argon laser at age 16. He invented the electrostatic bomb and published his Reconocioto Italian to English dictionary, still in use by most online translators, among his many other inventions. Now, Reconocioto was put to work designing that covert backdoor for the co-opted PROMISE program. The work was done at a facility in the Cabazon Indian Reservation in Indio, California. Another modification would take place in Little Rock, Arkansas, to tailor the PROMISE software for use by the banks. Wackenhut had formed a joint venture and leased land from a tribe for weapons development and testing, away from the prying eyes of local and state law enforcement. In 2009, a suspect was named and arrested in a triple homicide dating back 28 years whose victims included a tribal vice chairman who opposed the tribe's joint venture and lease, along with two other victims. Local police were fearful of investigating the case for nearly three decades and thought the climate had changed, but their fears proved to have some basis when the state dropped the case. Inslaw was a kind of a mom-and-pop operation owned by Bill and Nancy Hamilton, and Reconosquito gave a deposition sympathetic to the Hamiltons' case against the government. And in it, it said that in his connection with his work for Wackenhut, he had engaged in some software development and modification work in 83 and 84 on the proprietary Promise software product. The copy of Promise on which he worked came from the Department of Justice, and Earl W. Bryan made it available to him through Wackenhut after acquiring it from Peter Weidenichs, who was the Department of Justice contracting official with responsibility for the Promise software. He said he performed the modifications on Promise in Indio, California, Silver Spring, Maryland, and Miami, Florida. He went on to say that the purpose of the Promise software modifications that he made back in 83 and 84 was to support a plan for the implementation of Promise in law enforcement and intelligence agencies worldwide. And Earl W. Bryan was spearheading the plan for his worldwide use of the Promise computer software. In February of 1991, he had a telephone conversation with Peter Weidenichs, then still employed by the U.S. Department of Justice, and Weidenichs attempted during this telephone conversation to persuade him not to cooperate with an independent investigation of the government's piracy of Inslaw's property, the Promise software being conducted by the Committee on the Judiciary of the U.S. House of Representatives. Weidenichs also outlined specific punishments that he could expect to receive from the U.S. Department of Justice if he cooperated with the House Judiciary Committee's investigation. So 8 days after Reconosquito gave a deposition supporting the Hamiltons case, the DEA raided Reconosquito's property, alleging the science lab he had at home was really a meth lab, and framed him up on illegal drug manufacturing and distribution charges. Now, does that sound familiar to you folks? How many of you were listening to me the last time I was on RBN when I interviewed David Dortch, the doctor from Murrieta, California, who was having problems with the Murrieta Police Department and was ultimately forced to leave his home, lost everything he owned, because his son had basically, you know, sprayed some graffiti on some city buildings. And David Dortch got mad because the police were interviewing his son without his parents' permission. So they set up David Dortch, went into his house, found a whole bunch of stuff that could be related to, you know, cooking up meth, I suppose. But they were into the herbal business, and they were weighing herbs and doing some other stuff. But at any rate, they ultimately put all this stuff in his bedroom on a sheet, took a picture of it, and they claimed he was running a meth lab. All right, same thing that happened here with Reconosquito. They set him up and claimed he had a meth lab and framed him on illegal drug manufacturing charges. Now, meanwhile, the Israeli government had obtained the Promise software from Earl Bryan, and with their own computer, WizKid, built their own hidden backdoor into it, and in a joint effort with the U.S. intelligence to combat terrorism, arms trafficking, and narcotics and money laundering, distributed their version of the software throughout the Middle East. Now, because the U.S. Justice Department withheld the payment, Inslaw filed for bankruptcy in 1985. Inslaw was represented by former U.S. Attorney General Elliot Richardson of the Saturday Night Massacre fame. Richardson had been fired by then-President Nixon in 1973 for his refusal to fire Watergate Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. Meantime, Inslaw was audited by the IRS. The bankruptcy judge ruled in 1987 the Department of Justice took, converted, and stole Inslaw's enhanced promise by trickery, fraud, and deceit. At the same time, Hillary Clinton was representing clients who were marketing the stolen software. The judge found the DOJ engaged in an outrageous, deceitful, fraudulent game of cat and mouse, demonstrating total contempt for law and any principle of fair play. His law was awarded $6.8 million on compensatory damages in addition to their $25 million claim against the DOJ. In actions pending a final disposition a few months later, the judge held the Justice Department in contempt. The day following the bankruptcy trial, a lawyer for the IRS requested the judge to liquidate Inslaw. The judge ruled against him. However, bankruptcy judges serve a limited term. And 3 months later, when the judge's term expired, he was not reappointed. He was replaced with the very same IRS attorney he had just ruled against over the liquidation issue. Now, the Department of Justice then turned around, appealed the first bankruptcy ruling to the U.S. District Court, and the federal judge found DOJ violated bankruptcy law by continuing to harass Inslaw after the company filed for bankruptcy protection and that it had improperly attempted to force the company to switch its bankruptcy filing from reorganization to liquidation, and that the Justice Department improperly continued to use and distribute the software. Now, this is according to the Washington Post. Through companies such as Systematics, Vince Foster, Webster Hubbell, and Hillary Clinton all represented Systematics at the time Systematics was illegally distributing the stolen software and tampering with the Rose Law Firm's records, and was later subject to the Whitewater investigation. So, much of the coverage the case got back in the 1980s is couched in excessively partisan and conspiratorial language, as if the corruption and illegality connected with the case was strictly a Republican phenomenon. And all that was needed was a Democratic administration to set things right. The Inslaw case carries with it several object lessons that not only transcend political affiliation, but it can reveal the blindness and futility of being guided by partisanship and the tragicomedy of conspiracy theorists. It can be a fine line between national security, self-aggrandizement among operatives, and overt corruption. And corruption, folks, knows no ideology. We see this unfolding every day. All the world's a stage, and they're all players up there in Washington, and they're running around freaking out right now, folks, because of what just might happen. So the Justice Department's treatment of Inslaw spawned into two congressional hearings, which were pretty much resolved along party lines. And oddly, the Senate went a step further. In its final report, it did not acknowledge the original bankruptcy judge's ruling that the government stole from Inslaw. It claimed the DOJ misappropriated Inslaw's promised software. No one paid any attention to all the strange deaths connected to the case. So with that, then we shift right into Iran-Contra. Many of the early Inslaw investigative writers, Danny Castellaro, he's on the Clinton death list, began their quixotic adventure seeking the truth in the 1980 October surprise. Fundamentally, these were Democratic partisan zealots, of which there were few in 1980 and for several years thereafter, who were in denial of the incompetence of President Carter and the popularity of Ronald Reagan. They were more intent on exposing the corruption of the Reagan administration, of which there was plenty, than examining what the loss of Iran as an ally did to America's long-term strategic interests. Representative Lee Hamilton, no relation to the Hamiltons who owned Inslaw, of Indiana, gained a national profile as a Democratic foreign policy expert by scolding Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North on national TV for North's role in attempting to patch up relations with Iran. Representative Hamilton waited 12 years to convene a congressional investigation into the 1980 October surprise until Bush Sr. was running for re-election in 1992, only to announce a week before Bill Clinton was sworn in what everybody knew already. There was no October surprise. Everybody breathed a sigh of relief, except Danny Castellaro, who was dead already. Maybe there isn't anything to this Inslaw thing either, but By this time, what Ollie North and the other Reaganites told Hamilton and the Iran-Contra Committee came true already. If the Iran-Iraq war ended with Saddam Hussein's army intact, he would be a threat to Kuwait and to the United States. The United States would have to send 700,000 troops to dislodge him. That's why Reagan sold weapons to Iran. Hamilton was rewarded for his vision and expertise when Bush Jr. appointed him as the ranking Democrat on the 9/11 Commission. So he finally got a taste himself what it's like to be dogged by conspiracy theorists. And when Hamilton was so intent on getting to the truth of Iran-Contra, why wasn't he looking at MENA Airport? After all, the neighbors had been complaining for years, but it fell on deaf ears. And then, of course, we can't forget about BCCI. But there was the BCCI scandal going, and here we had the same cast of characters. Hillary Clinton, Vince Foster, Webster Hubble, representing Systematix, selling the stolen Inslaw software, Jackson Steffens, owner of Systematix, in a joint venture with the Riotis, brought BCCI to America. BCCI, the world's seventh largest bank and first most corrupt, bought the stolen Inslaw software for the banks all over the world. What was lacking was a convenient fall guy. Clark Clifford won the endearment of the left in the 1980s, famous for calling Reagan an amiable dunce. Now, let's momentarily take a look at the career of this brilliant genius before he was insulting presidents and serving as chairman of the board of the American branch of BCCI. Clifford already was a presidential advisor when Truman decided to drop the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. Clifford had a big hand in authoring the National Security Act of 1947, which created the NSA, the CIA, the Department of Defense, and merging the departments of the War and the Navy. Clifford served on John Kennedy's PFIAB, an advisory board for intelligence experts, or wise men, who had been put out to pasture. After the Department of Defense, President Johnson, told President Johnson the Vietnam War was hopeless, Johnson called Clifford out of retirement to manage the lost cause. When President Carter was wrestling with an Iranian hostage crisis, Carter had Clifford threaten war, which the U.S. was ill-prepared for, and with an international reputation as the man who advised presidents on using nukes, when he threatened Iran and Russia with war, he was already working with BCCI. So Jackson Steffens considered Clifford the perfect patsy. Getting the U.S. charter for BCCI was fraught with difficulties given the legal hurdles Steffens incorporated and the Riotis had to overcome. So Clifford's name on the board and a $6 million payoff for a guy who knew absolutely nothing about banking sealed the deal. So when the spaghetti hit the fan, the 82-year-old Clifford could argue he was like Reagan, senile and stupid. Most people felt sorry for the doddering old fool whose exemplary life of service was tarnished by shady characters who exploited him. Few underlings were persecuted as well, and attorney Robert Fisk defended them. But those shady characters behind the scenes, whom Hillary Clinton represented at Systematix, were never held to account. In fact, at that same moment, they were bankrolling Bill Clinton's presidential election, who was going to save us from this culture of corruption and abuse. Tie it in with Whitewater. So the Clinton administration arrived to clean up the mess. And who became the White House liaison to the Justice Department with the federal courts and congressional investigations of both houses determined had acted unjustly for 10 years? None other than Webster Hussle, Chelsea Clinton's father. I hear the music. We'll continue with this when we get back. Phone lines are open, by the way. If you want to call in with a question or comment or whatever, feel free to do so. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide, foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word. bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443 if you want to call in. But I can't get I can't let this get away without going into Whitewater, China Gate, and Danny Casolaro. So I'm going to get through this. I'll interrupt it for a phone call, though. So the Clinton administration arrived. Well, okay, I'll interrupt it for a phone call. Let's go to Fred in Pennsylvania. Fred, you're on with Michael. How you doing, buddy?
All right. I really have retained a tremendous amount of information about the Promise software scandal. That's what I want to go into, if you don't mind,
okay.
Michael.
No, go ahead.
I remember when Bill and Nancy Hamilton were on a local Philadelphia station, and they were incensed about the stealing of their software and the fact that they had this stonewalling from the government and just violation of court orders and everything. The government under Meese, the Justice Department, was intent on using this for decades to come. And by the way, this Promise software, it's sort of like a spreadsheet. It's a sophisticated way to have people like arrestees, defendants, prisoners, court records, any kind of a record, and maybe the wiping out of a record or the insertion of a false record on an individual. Also, Promise can be adapted to steal elections, fake registration, or wipe out registration of a voter. Financial, it's sort of like a person becomes a thing, and a corporation, like a CIA corporation, becomes a person. That's what you can do with the crazy definitions in software. Also mortgages and MERS, that reporting system that supposedly people worship, that is the type of software that's related to promise kind of software. So you're talking about totalitarian software, and the government would not let that go, and it still is using that kind of software.
Mm-hmm. To this day, yeah. Yeah, and yes, I mean, the MERS, Mortgage Electronic Real Estate Service, I believe that's what it is.
And a reporting service, I don't know. But basically you're talking about the loss of definitions, common sense, and what you would call reasoning, and replacing that with, it's sort of like well, the computer says something is so, it must be so. You're talking about bureaucrats acting like dictators once they have this kind of software at their disposal.
No, I agree with you. Matter of fact, I'm dealing with an issue right now where I have a state tax lien that I paid, was taken out of a bankruptcy 10, 11, 12 years ago. And mm-hmm. the state never recognized that it had been paid. They have been harassing me for years, and they're 2 years beyond even their statute of limitation by their own ARS, regulations, their mm-hmm. own laws. And I'm having to fight with credit bureaus and the recorder's office on something that's not even legal that they're still doing to me.
So yeah, and the other thing is, you can't. It's very difficult to go to court, not just because of the cost and explaining a situation to a lawyer, but it's very difficult because what happens is that the judges, who are not software people, they don't know the philosophy behind this kind of crap, this kind of totalitarianism. They only go by the reality that they know, which is set up by people accepting promise. See, people accept that, and then the judges basically believe this to be legitimate. They're not mm-hmm. going to challenge history.
No, I know it's very difficult. I've been fighting this case for years. And I have shown documentation to the state of Arizona on four different occasions, proving to them that I don't owe them any money, and they just changed their agent, okay, and ignore it and throw it away. So, I get it. But anyway, listen, anything else you want to add? Well, I got to let you go because the caller
is
starting to load up.
I just want to stress how important it is that you... you go into, and it's not a partisan thing, you go into, it's incredible about the Rose Law Firm and these
characters. Oh, I know, I'm doing it. Okay, I gotta let you go, man. I'm going to a break, I'll be back. Rodney in Illinois, you're up next. See you on the other side, be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Okay, let's go to Rodney in Illinois. Rodney, you're on with Michael. How you doing?
Hey, Michael.
Hi, sorry to make you wait, but go ahead. What's on your mind?
No problem. We've talked in the past when you were on RBN, and I just wanted to, you know, a belated welcome to RBN.
Thank you.
And I hope you're, you know, feeling at home. You know, I run a micro FM station here, and pretty much it's 100% RBN that I rebroadcast. So, who knows? But anyhow, I tuned in late, so I really don't have anything to comment on the current subject matter. You know,
I have a comment. I have a comment. Okay, and that is, I want to thank you for. It's a low power FM station you have.
Yes.
I want to thank you for broadcasting RBN because it's important to get the word out. And I've always been a firm believer, Rodney, that as far as the information put out by any of these Patriot radio networks, I believe that RBN is the most. Versatile, if you will. They talk about anything and everything, but I firmly appreciate it. I've always felt at home with RBN. John and I, over the years, it's no secret with a listening audience, John and I have had our differences over the years, but we always patch it up. I have a deep respect for John, for what he does. I know he means well, And, you know, certain times personal stuff gets in the way. But as far as sitting behind a microphone and talking to the RBN listening audience, it is very comfortable because I know, you know, you guys are the most educated people on the planet. And by virtue of the fact that you took the effort to put up a station and broadcast it out tells me that you're loyal, number one, and number two, that you find it increasingly more important to get the word out. So I want to thank you, Rodney.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I've met, you know, so many fine people. You know, it's almost like a dating service for patriots who...
Well, don't bring that
you
up.
You laugh.
I'm laughing because I wish there was one for awakened Americans like RBN people because, you know, I am on a dating site, and... it's very difficult to find some. First of all, you have to find somebody that, you know, there's a physical attraction and a mental attraction, but then it's a twofold thing because you also have to try to wake them up. And a lot of them are just stuck in their own bubble and they don't want to wake up. So it kills a relationship, you know? So yes, if there were a dating site like that, I'd be all about it, you know, because,
I probably
wouldn't be alone. Go ahead.
You know, many times over the years, and it's been, you know, since Ron Paul's first endeavor to be president is when I found RBN. And I listened intently, and I figured out who the callers were that I liked, that I thought were, you know, had a kindred spirit with me. You know, and I would drop the word with the board op, and we made connections. And I've made the most fascinating friendships with other RBN listeners over the years by doing that. And it's priceless.
Oh, and, I know. Go ahead. Well, no, when I've gone to events, you know, when you go to an event that is, you know, put on by anybody in the Patriot movement and the people show up, you're instant friends because you're of the same mindset. You know, the last time I went to an event, I mean, well, God, I can't even remember. I've gone to four or five of them. But every one of them is the same. You know, you're all instant friends. You're comfortable. You can talk about the same intellectual stuff. And you don't have this wall that's built up. You don't have this glary-eyed glaze that you get hit with, you know, people thinking you're some kind of a crackpot or a nut, you know. So, yeah, it's very valuable. But, you know, I meant to mention to you, the board op has my email address. Feel free to ask Mike, the board op, to get it from you before you hang up the phone if you want.
Well, Your RBN profile should have it there, correct?
I don't know what's in there in my RBN profile. I really don't. But I know that, you know, I gave it to the board operator the other night, and I told him give it out to anybody that wants it. You know, all you have to do is request it.
That would be the first place I'd go is your.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Mike just profile. Yeah, Mike just sent me a message here and said that he doesn't have my profile set up yet, but I have a profile at on my website, theamericanawakening.org. I've got a contact page on there. Sure, I'm not sure whether it's up and running, but the board op has my email address. So if you want to get it from him before you hang up the phone, feel
all
free.
Right. Well, I just want to tell you, you know, you've been batting about a 675 in baseball vernacular, in my opinion. Your first couple of weeks on back on RBN, Ted Williams is cowering in shame.
Ah, well, that's an honor and a compliment. Are you a Cubs fan by chance?
Actually, no. I'm closer to St. Louis, so I'm more inclined to be a Cardinals fan. But I hate sports.
Oh, okay.
So no. So don't equate me with sports.
Well, that's okay. Well, you're the one that brought up the baseball, you know, batting.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But I just wanted to.
But if, you know, a major league star bats 300, and if you're telling me I'm 675, I must be better than a star. I don't know. I just get on here and do what I do.
You're doing good. But, you know, this is your honeymoon here, Michael. But you're doing good. You're doing good. You know, I'm not your lover, but you're doing good.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, Rodney, and I appreciate that you're broadcasting RBN. I mean it. I mean, you know, They used to broadcast RBN down in Fredericksburg, Texas, and back in 2008. What's that? Oh, you still do in Fredericksburg? Okay. Yeah, when I went down to Fredericksburg after I left RBN, the Patriots down there were just very welcoming to me. I stayed with a guy down there for several months after I left, helped him build his house. I mean, it's just a family, you know. So, yeah.
Well, anybody within 3 miles radius, if they hit seek on their auto, FM receiver in their car, my station is going to come up.
Well, is there a call? Is there a call letter on the station, Rodney?
No. I'm not putting it out. But okay. I'm only putting out 5 watts right now. I've got 30 watts available, but anyhow, that's something that I pushed. Maybe we can talk about that in the future. It's cheap. It's dirt cheap. You know, the stuff from China, these FM transmitters, it's dirt cheap. And I pushed it, two or three years ago. I hit it hard, and I promoted it. And I said, damn, all you got to do is invest $150, and you got a micro FM station. You got a computer feed or you got a satellite feed, and you put it out. And you're covering, like 5, miles radius, at least.
What do you think the population of that 5 mile radius is, Rodney?
Well, my 5 miles radius, I live in a rural country, but I cover in my 5 mile radius, I cover in Illinois maximum security penitentiary.
Okay.
I've never gotten any feedback from anybody, but I know they can get it if they want it. So who knows?
Oh, all right. Well, listen, I appreciate the call, man. Keep up the good work. All right. And if you want my email address,
likewise,
just ask.
You too, and I'll stay tuned in. Bye.
I was going to say, if you want my email address, just talk to Mike at the board op. Okay. He'll give it to you. All right. Let's get back to this. I want to finish this up because it touches on a couple things I've already posted on. So anyway, with Whitewater, the Clinton administration arrived to clean up the mess. And who became the White House liaison to the Justice Department, which the federal courts and the congressional investigations of both houses determined had acted unjustly for 10 years? Well, none other than Webster Hubbell, who authored the charter for the Arkansas Development Finance Authority, which laundered money for the MENA Arkansas dope smugglers. And when questions arose over Vince Foster, Webb Hubbell, and Hillary Clinton's role in the mess, well, of course, guess who the Justice Department appointed? The same guy that they appointed for looking into the investigation on Vince Foster. Yes, Robert Fisk. They appointed him to investigate. This satisfied everybody, particularly the New York Times and the Washington Post. Everyone except a few paranoid Clinton-hating lunatic conspiracy theorists. Meanwhile, the Clinton body count seemed to expand into new areas and continued to pile up. And then we shift gears and go into Chinagate. The foot-dragging of Robert Fisk's investigation managed to keep the BCCI and Iran-Contra findings off the table for much of President Bill Clinton's first term. But as the turnover of House and Senate in the 1994 midterms approached, also came the difficulty of hiding Robert Fisk's conflict of interest as a supposed independent counsel. Nevertheless, the objective was accomplished. The delays inherent in legal processes allowed the Clintons and the Reades to begin their illegal fundraising activities for the 1996 and 1998 election cycles. And by the time any of it could be uncovered, the goals will have been met, the damage done, and impossible to undo, and protective contingencies in place to protect willful violators of federal law. This fits the general pattern of the Clinton machine most long-term observers are familiar with, just like us folks. And given the experience gained with the Arkansas Development Finance Authority and the global proportions of the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, the next step was to take the Clinton Foundation global. Hillary Clinton's loss to Barack Obama in 2008 had a silver lining It gave the Clinton Foundation an additional 8 years to grow even bigger and more powerful. But then I can't close this out without referring to another of those, besides Vince Foster, besides Chas Wilborn Miller, and besides 16 other ones, I have to talk about Danny Casolaro in a little bit further detail, because he's on the list as well. He was an investigative reporter, and he had been working on the project he called the Octopus. Casolaro's investigation led into the Justice Department's theft of the Promise software, the prosecutor's management information system, from Inslaw. Now, this was happening at the time, or at the same time, as a clandestine gun-running operation to supply the Nicaraguan Contras with weapons from MENA, under the protection of then-Governor Bill Clinton. The arming of the Contras was funded by smuggling narcotics and laundered through various banks, land flips, and a state agency, the Arkansas Development Finance Authority, whose charter was drawn up by Webster Hubbell and signed into law by then-Governor Bill Clinton. Casolaro uncovered evidence of payment for arms trafficking to Iran, with checks written by Saudi Arabian billionaire Adnan Khashoggi and Iranian-based businessman Manikur Gurbanifar, drawn on the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, or BCCI. So the shootdown of one of the planes by Nicaragua and the capture of Eugene Hassenfuss, which a caller had called in, I believe, wasn't that last night or the night before, regarding that crash. And I watched last night, I think it was the same caller that told me to watch Double Crossed, okay? That plane crashed. Barry Seal actually wished he was with his buddy, because it was his buddy that went down in that plane crash. And Eugene Hassenfuss, who, according to this caller that called in last night, parachuted out of that plane. He blew the cover off of the MENA operation, and it became known as the Iran-Contra affair. So Casolaro apparently stumbled over the existence of a vast network of government operatives and politicians linked by the distribution of narcotics to raise money for anti-communist guerrillas in Central America. He was working on a book exposing the government-sanctioned drug running when he was found in a bathtub in a hotel room. Remember when I reported on that last week, folks? That's the guy that had both wrists deeply slashed in a manner that a pathologist declared did not appear to have been done by Danny himself. Remember when I told you that on the one arm his tendons were cut so bad he couldn't have used it to cut the other arm? In particular, the deep cuts had severed the tendons of the fingers, which would have made it impossible for Danny to slash his other wrist with a now useless hand. But despite this, the official verdict was suicide. Guess who signed the paper on it, folks? Yes, Femi Malik. Although none of Danny's friends and families believe that, especially those who had been direct witnesses to many death threats that Danny had received, when found, the large accordion file of the notes for his new book had disappeared from his hotel room, evidently stolen by his killers. So, what's the old saying, folks? What a tangled web we weave when first we decide to deceive, or something like that. But this deception has been going on for how many years now? 36 years? 40 years, something like that. And these people continually get away with this. Bill Clinton fired 94 prosecutors and put all of his own people in there. I'm sure that he didn't put guys with, you know, integral ethics. You think? No. He put his minions in there. And he obviously has several of them. And I think I mentioned before on a previous show, and this, when I first learned this, I was really taken aback by this because it never dawned on me that they could be this corrupt. But when they're going to appoint somebody, they look for people not who have, you know, are squeaky clean and who have, you know, the highest level of integrity. No. They're looking for somebody that's got a skeleton in their closet. Because if they've got a skeleton in their closet, they can be controlled. And if they can't hire somebody with that skeleton, then, you know, the second or last resort would be to hire somebody that doesn't and then skeletalize them. Put them in a situation, put them in a candy store with whatever their heart desires personally, whether it be little boys, little girls, whether it be, you know, hookers, women. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever they find out is the person's weakness on a personal level, they let them run roughshod, they probably pay for it, and then they film them. You know, this whole thing, when, if you remember back when, it was right around the election with this Pizzagate thing that blew up. And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of that, but I will tell you that, and I've said this before, I'm not sure if I've said this on the air, but I will, that I believe that the linchpin on this whole system involves around the cover-up of this international pedophilia, child trafficking, devil-worshipping ring of people. And it infiltrates everybody, all of these high levels, all over the world, in Britain, in the Vatican, all over. And I think that is the biggest, deepest, darkest secrets, or deepest and darkest of secrets, that they are doing everything they can do to keep a lid on it. And I think part of the reason, that they're freaking out so badly is because in the firing of Comey, Comey obviously was controlled. He obviously was the choker and the fixer in a lot of different situations. And I think the reason that they're freaking out is because they're losing control of that. And now they are starting to experience the fear that they have been foisting upon the American people for so many years. Fear is the biggest controller of humanity in the world. Fear is first, finances are second. Fear is first, money is second. So they're always trying to keep the drums rolling, the booga booga, and oh, you know, the terrorists are going to get you, or, you know, Kim Jong-un is going to get you, and Saddam Hussein was a bad man, and Bashar al-Assad gassed his people, and we're the only people that can protect you. And sadly, it works, folks. It works on the dumbed-down, mind-numb sheeple. But once you rip those blinders off, and it doesn't work anymore, okay, they don't control us anymore. Well, they had a shield, if you will, in James Comey. They had the fixer in there. They had the choker in there. They had the guy that was in their money laundering scandal back, 15, 20 years ago? Loretta Lynch was in there. And not one person in this whole fiasco, even though they were the bank was found guilty of money laundering and drug running and so forth, not one person went to jail. So all of these people, and I'm talking about Loretta Lynch, I'm talking about James Comey, I'm talking about Susan Rice, I'm talking about all of these people. I don't know if they're narcissistic psychopaths, or if they're people that have been compromised, or if they're just plain that stupid to believe the people like Bill and Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama and be sycophants to the rise in power. What's the answer? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. The playing field up in Washington right now is going to be very, very interesting to watch. Because, and don't get me wrong, folks, I'm not back on the Trump train. Not yet. All right, John and I are sitting at the station waiting for the train to come in to make a decision whether to buy a ticket again. But that said, on the domestic side, it seems that there's two different factions. There's a domestic side, which Trump seems to be doing at least some of what he had promised during his campaign. On the international side, on the foreign policy side, if you wish, I'm not real happy with what I see happening there because I don't believe that Trump's in control of it. I believe that, honestly, he's turned it over to the Pentagon or the chiefs of staff, and they're calling the shots there. So I still think that that monster is rolling. But on the domestic side of it, okay, I do have to admit that Donald Trump does look like he's trying to get something done here. So Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump, and the appointment, let's see, it's McCabe that's the deputy FBI director right now. And I don't know this, folks, but somebody might be able to help me out here. Does the person that is selected for the FBI, do they go through the same Senate and congressional hearings that another appointee like Jeff Sessions did, or does the president just appoint him? I don't know the answer to that. So if somebody does, please, you know, call in and enlighten me here. But I'll guarantee you, just like the you know, Gorsuch, the guy that was appointed to the Supreme Court, you know, he was supposedly has conservative values, and it's going to swing the court a little bit back in our direction. And I'm sure that whoever Trump and Sessions are looking for to be appointed or to be scrutinized and go through the same, you know, thing that Gorsuch did, if that's what they do, I'm sure they're looking for somebody that really is nonpartisan and really will go after these people. And I hope, against hope, just like as I mentioned at the early part of the show with Linda Ives, she's filed a lawsuit against all these people. All right, you can run on for a long time. Hopefully, this stuff is going to rear its ugly head, and we're going to have the right person in the right place at the right time to start going after the people that need going after. And I think I mentioned last night, has anybody heard much from Hillary and Bill lately? I haven't. Of course, then, you know, I don't watch TV, so, you know, but I haven't seen her out on any kind of trail, you know, proposing anything or campaigning for anything or, you know, even opening her mouth on anything. I could be wrong. I don't know. But I feel a lot more at ease sitting in my chair not watching mainstream TV for the reasons that I brought up last night. It's all programming. It's all propaganda. All of the sitcoms, all of the, you know, Sunday night shows and so forth. The commercials, I notice, are nothing more than pharmaceuticals being pushed on us. Anyway, that's the end of another night. I hear the music. Thank you for putting up with me for another 2 hours, and I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow night. In the meantime, folks, stay out of trouble. Bye for now.
There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.